Welcome to Youth Sunday.
Good morning. My name is Matt Hall, and I am the Director of Youth Ministries. And if you haven't noticed, this is Youth Sunday. So it is a worship service which involves all of our youth. So we have our youth worship band led by Tracy Pro leading us through worship this morning. You're going to hear a mix of both contemporary songs and hymns done in a contemporary style. And these are all songs that we do on a regular basis at Youth Group. So we're not accommodating you at all. This is what we do. And my good friend, Jordan Gipps, will be leading that message.
Hi, guys. I'm Jordan, and I have some stuff to show you. Okay. Look at his Bible. It's big, isn't it? This is the Chancel Bible. Now look at how big the words are. Big font. And then this one. This is the Pew Bible. In the pews. And the words are kind of smaller. Yeah? Font size? Yay. Okay. This is one of the children's books, the Children Bible. This one's cool because it's a comic book on the inside. It's Sarah's. This is also another children's book. This one has a lot of pictures in it, as does the comic book. It's easier for the children, and they have smaller words for us to talk to you about. And then, oh yeah, I need that. And then there's also your cell phone, and there's a Bible app for your cell phone. Just a few clicks to the chapters, and you're set. And then, so there's all the Bibles. And so the Bible, it was written a really long time ago by a lot of different people, but not all at once. It was written by people of faith telling about God and their experiences with God. Some of the writings are stories, like the stories of Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, and the Egyptians, and stories about Jesus. Some of the writings are rules, like the Ten Commandments. Some of the writings are poetry, like Psalms, and some are letters. All of the writings tell us about who God is and what God has done for us in the world. The complete Bible has been translated into 450 languages, and sections of the Bible have been translated into over 2,000 languages. In the King James Version of the Bible, written in English, there are 66 sections of books, 1,189 chapters. And do you guys want to guess how many words are in the Bible, in that Bible?
1,000,000.
Anybody else want to guess? No? Okay. There are 783,137 words in the King James Bible. That's a lot of words to read. I don't know about that Bible, Cameron. With all of those 783,137 words, 1,189 chapters, and 66 books of Holy Scripture, the message of the Bible can be summarized into one sentence, 25 short words. The sentence can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, and it goes like, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's God's message in a nutshell. All of these words and verses and chapters and books of the Bible are there to convey this one message. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now we're going to pray. Father, thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for telling us cool stories about you. Help us to always remember that the whole Bible is about your son, Jesus, dying for us because he loved us. Amen.
Ecclesiastes 12:1-3. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, "Life is not pleasant anymore." Remember him before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is dim to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly.
Thanks, Kazette. So what I'd like to do now is call up some friends of mine. What you might not know is that a couple of years ago we started a after-school program that was designed to minister to our neighbors next door at Hyde Middle School and to reach out to the community that way. And often those middle school students, they come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday pretty faithfully. We can have a crowd of anywhere from 10 and sometimes upwards of 22 middle school students over in McCaddy Hall. And when we get about 22, that's when Pat Strandberg begins to call it crazy zone. But those students, they're coming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they come on Tuesday night to our midweek middle school program where we routinely have about 20 students participating, which is fantastic. But you don't necessarily meet them here on Sunday mornings. So I've convinced two of my middle school friends to come here so that I could introduce you to them. So Bella and Hannah, will you come join me up here? So Bella has an interesting distinction in the fact that she was the original Crash Zone member. My very first sign up is right here. So Bella, tell us how you found out about the program.
Well, my sister went to the preschool for a little bit, and my mom decided that she wanted to put me somewhere while she was working.
So your mother put us with us, and it was really exciting because we had so many Crash Zone students, right?
No, just me.
Yeah, so it was just you. So we had a slower start than we originally thought. So tell them about what that first week of Crash Zone was like.
For a while, it was just me and Matt in his office, and we'd play board games, do homework.
Yeah. Bella discovered that she shouldn't ask me about plate tectonics. I am no good at science. So Bella and I hung out in my office for, I think it was actually like 2 weeks. And finally, I convinced Bella that she had to invite a friend. So while Bella was forced to come to Crash Zone because of her mother, Hannah was forced to come because of Bella. Isn't that right, Hannah?
Yes, that's right.
So, Hannah, what's your favorite part about Crash Zone?
Probably playing games and hanging out with our friends.
Yeah. So, originally, it was Bella, and then it was Bella and Hannah, and it was just these two meeting in my office. And eventually, we were able to hire Eric Silva. In that first year, we had about 7 of you hanging out in the youth room. So Crash Zone was pretty different that first year, right?
Yeah, it was very different.
Yeah. So what were some of your favorite memories from that time period?
Probably all the jokes and the games that we played, definitely. And we all got to know each other really well.
Yeah, you were a tight little bunch in that group. And then that following fall when you came back, how many of you did you think there would be?
I thought there would be the same amount as there was that year before.
Yeah, and Bella, how many were there?
There were a lot more, about 10 more.
Yeah, so we were right at about 17 on that first day of our second year. And Bella and Hannah, actually, you started attending youth group. Now, why did you attend youth group?
Because my mom said if I wanted to go on houseboats, I had to go in youth group.
So Bella's mom is one of my favorite parents. So, so Bella found out about houseboats she wanted to go. Her mom said you can't go on their summer camp unless you participate in their youth group. So if Bella was forced to go to youth group, Bella forced Hannah to go to youth group. So these two made that transition, and then you guys both went on houseboats that first year. And what did you think of houseboats?
Houseboats is the most fun trip ever.
It's the best time you'll ever have.
Best time you'll ever have. What's your favorite part about houseboats, Hannah?
Probably the worship. I like the worship and playing dibble dabble, jumping off the boat, playing games, playing in the water, and water sports.
Fantastic. So a lot has changed in Crash. Then we started off with 1, then 2, and now we're somewhere between 10 and 22, depending on the day over there. And what's really exciting is as these students sort of made the bridge from my office to a larger program and then to our normal youth ministry programs and houseboats, others have as well. Last year on houseboats, we brought about 7 Crash Zone students. We're looking to do the same this year. And our Tuesday night programs, about half of the students, sometimes as few as 1/3, are actually church families, families whose parents attend church here. The other half or 2/3 are from our Crash Zone program. So it's a phenomenal outreach, and to be perfectly honest, its success is first Jesus's, but then second probably Bella and Hannah as they force all their friends to come. So thank you, ladies. You can put the mic back. So now you know a little bit about our Crash Zone program, but I want to introduce you to another friend of mine, somebody who I think you'll recognize. His name's Nathan Hobbs. He's a long time, I think you were born and raised in this church, right? You are a WVPC kid. And Nathan has prepared a testimony to share with the congregation.
So, hi, my name is Nathan. I am the son of Nancy and Greg Hobbs. I'm a junior at Wilcox High School, Santa Clara. Go Chargers. At this point in my life, going through decisions on what I'm doing for college and life after school. Right now, looking at multiple schools and trying to decide what's the best one for me. It's kind of like almost getting married to your wife because you're going to spend 5 to 6 years, yes, 5 to 6 years, parents. it's really hard to get through college in four. Money and the school with people. So, it's usually 5 to 6 years, so it's like getting married. Hey, one of my best friends told me that, so it works. If you can look at it. So I'm looking at that, and it's interesting to look at the colleges because they're all looking for something different. Like, let's say Irvine. UC Irvine's looking for, like, tech students and people from other places to come and do computer programs. Cal Poly, engineering. One of the hardest schools to get into. I know multiple people that are seniors this year that got waitlisted or not even accepted that probably should get accepted there. Like, they should definitely be going there. So what do college actually look at? They definitely do look at grades. You got to work from the beginning of your freshman year to your last final of your junior year. Yes, junior year. Because after junior year, you can't change your GPA enough or your grades that colleges will see it before you send in your applications. Like, you might be able to get 4.0 up to your junior year, but then after your junior year, if you get a 4.2, colleges might see that when you come, like, your first day, but they're not going to see that on your application. Your applications are turned in November, and they'll be looking at your old transcripts. So I'm working on that, trying to stay up with the grades and stuff like that. Also, at this time, juniors start taking tests like, I think people know, ACT and SAT. These tests are very hard and different, and they're different for different reasons. ACT looks at, like, stuff that you know. SAT is trying to see what you can do with the stuff that you have learned. So they're trying to look at stuff that you don't know, but trying to figure out if you can figure out what it is. So I actually start my ACT tomorrow. So I'm working on that and also trying to deal with school, grades, youth group. I just finished my Eagle Scout rank, so I have the highest scout rank in. Highest scout rank in Boy Scouts, so I just finished that. So that's one thing off my plate, but I'm still doing stuff with Boy Scouts. I'm planning to go to New Mexico this year for a backpacking trip, so working on that. So I have a lot going on my plate right now. But God has always been with me and always will be. I really saw this in Mexico on Easter. Mexico, I kind of I've been for the past 3 years. And he really started to speak with me with a song that Nate kept playing. Every single day, campfire, I'm pretty sure it was played. It's called Your Love Never Fails. But there was really a couple lines that really spoke to me. Pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's also from Psalms 35. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. This song like stuck with me through every day. Me and Karen Clark would go out and go running in the morning. And I had this song, especially the last part, in my head, repeating as I ran. I think it pretty much got me through that week. Like, I had nothing going on that like hard in my life at that time, really. But it just kept me going. And I think it also kept a lot of people going. So, I look at that part, that verse, in two ways. With the pain in the night and the joy comes in the morning. So my pain in the night is looking at my future right now and what am I going to do. And it's just, I guess it just scares me. Thinking about like how I might be leaving you guys, this church, the Bay Area, in a year. It just, like, scares me because I don't know what I'm going to do. And God hasn't told me what I'm going to do. Like, I have an idea. I want to go into criminology so I can help people in the world. But I don't know if that's really what He wants me to do. So then the second part is, but joy comes in the morning. Mexico, I saw it because everybody got up. We pretty much all went to bed. With something aching, I probably went to bed with, like, my back hurting or something. Yeah, I'm young. I still hurt stuff. Ask, like, my family. I've come home with random things hurt. So that's, like, but I saw it every day when we got up to go work again. Everybody just got up and started working, even if something hurt. And we worked through it. Like, we had two people that were sick for pretty much the whole week, and it was Sarah and Lyle. Lyle was our lead work leader, and then Sarah was our children ministry, and that was a problem because she really didn't have anybody to fill in other than a couple youth people. So they stepped up, and I just saw the joy out of their faces and stepping up and doing that. So during Easter, I really had a panic of colleges and, like, leaving this place. Good Friday service, I was hanging out with Jonathan Engelman, and I asked him if he wanted to just go and talk. I told him where I stood on colleges and, like, how it scared me. He brought me to my senses that God had planned for me. And there was always going to be joy in the morning. Even though there might be pain right now of not knowing, there will always be plan and joy in the morning for me and anybody who needs it. I'm very happy that I have such good friends and family at this church and youth group that I can go to and just talk and ask for help. I would hope that if anybody else is overwhelmed with, like, a problem right now, they would just step up and ask somebody, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people in this church that are willing to help. But I'm going to trust in God with His plan for school and life, and I bet He will help me, lead me to the right school to get married to, figuratively. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nathan. What a powerful story about God's faithfulness and the way He uses community and Scripture to encourage us no matter what we go through. I'll be talking with the youth soon about marriage and how long that's supposed to last.
Good morning. My name is Shane Ward. I will be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5. I passed on to you what was most important, what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12.
Hi, I'm Mark Murphy. I'm a junior in high school. I attend the King's Academy in Sunnyvale. I've been going to church here since I was 4 years old, and in my past few years here, I have strengthened my relationship with Jesus through my time with the advisors of the youth group and my experiences through serving other people. So I started going to the youth group here when I was in the sixth grade with my brother, Max. He graduated last year. And so the first time I went there, I had like a blast with everyone there, like Joe, Matt. And so then I was like, oh, I'll go the next Sunday and the next Sunday. And I've been going most Sundays since then till today. And my first experience at serving was at service worship, which this church started several years ago. And I was collecting cans with my mom and my brother. And I was like, ooh, this is really boring. I'm collecting cans and I'm putting it in a bag. And then my mother kept finding more and more things for me and my brother to do. And I was like, why? Like, why am I doing this? But then I was like, wait, this is the prime example of a humble servant. Because, like, it's not why I'm doing this. It's who I'm doing this for and why, like, who I'm serving. And so my mom taught me a lesson that day that it's not, like, who, like, I shouldn't be doing this for, like, my glory, but for the glory of God, because I'm a servant of the Lord. And another example I had was this year I went to Kentucky with my church, with my school, and we built wheelchair ramps for people at the base of the Appalachian Mountains. Yes, it's Appalachian over there. They're proud of the fact that it's Appalachian. And so we were building wheelchair ramps, and on the second night, we were having a little prayer, like a group thing, and then one of the kitchen staff members came over to our group and said, hey, can you pray for me? I have stage 2 liver cancer. And we were, whoa, okay. So we were praying for her, right? We're like, God, heal her. And then she starts praying for us. And I was like, whoa. Like, every time, like, I'm in suffering and I need prayer, I don't start praying for the other people. I accept the prayer because, you know, I'm the one that's suffering. And so I was drawn back, like, wow, what faith does it take to pray for other people during, like, my suffering? And then, like, kind of reminded me of, like, Jesus when he went to the cross, and how he did it for us so that we may go have salvation and be with him in heaven. And I was like, that's Christ-like. I wish I could be like that. And so I felt really blessed by her just prayer for me and, like, throughout the week. And I was like, ooh, she's got faith. I don't got faith. And then so the advisors here are really great. I love them all. And so as a teenager, like, it's really tough. And when I grow older, I don't think I want to work with teenagers because they're a lot of work. And so I'm, like, proud of every advisor here who takes time out of their busy schedule to hang out with us every Sunday. And so I've had lunch with a couple, like, advisors here, like, oh, like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Or, like, oh, I've got girl problems. Can you help me out? I'm like, oh, sure, let's have lunch. And so they've kind of helped me lead me through that. And also I have all their contact information on my phone, and they're all Facebook friends with me, so we're friends. And so they're all like a text or a message away if I'm ever in trouble. Like, oh, hey, can you pray for me? I have like a test tomorrow, and like I'm going to fail it. Pray for me now. And so it's kind of nice. Like, oh, yeah, we'll pray for you. And then also I found out this year that each advisor is assigned to a different student in the youth group, and they pray for them throughout the week. And I was like, wow, like, I have somebody who's praying for me and I don't even have to ask for it. Like, they're just praying, like, oh, like, can you help Mark, like, do this? Can you help Mark get through this? And like, I was like, wow, okay, so I got somebody else on my side besides God, which is nice to know, because, you know, life's kind of rough. And And the youth group is also great because of the diversity there, because you've got people who are like, oh, I just accepted Christ today. And then you've got people like Matt who are going to seminary and have been like a Christian their whole life. And it's like nice because you can see like, oh, the different steps of being a Christian and where am I in that like rotation system. And also you can talk to any one of them like, oh, hey, like, so like, hey, I need help with like praying or like how should I handle the situation? And you talk to Matt or like Trevor, Kelly. And so, yeah, it's nice to have that kind of diversity of like, oh, like, hey, how would you handle the situation? Because I'm only like a junior and you've lived, you know, a lot more years than I have. Like, I need some help. And so I kind of see them as my role models, like my Christian role models, because just the way that they like treat others and like me and just the way they love each other. And many of them are in relationships and like some of them are married or going to be married this very recently soon. And it's kind of nice because like I can use them as an example for like when I get married, hopefully a couple years that like that I know how to like treat my wife and just like how to date like healthy, like through like a Christ-like manner. And then they're like just a great example of how to, you know, treat each other. And so I love how strong their faith is. Who Jesus is to me? That is the question we must all ask ourselves, because this answer is roughly the same for most people, but the only thing that's different is through our life experiences. All of us have lived different lives. I've lived a different life than all of you, and so my view of Christ is different from most of you. So Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but I also see him as my eternal teacher, because he's always there like, hey, Mark, you should do this. Like, all right, and then I don't do it, and then I get punished for not doing it. And so it's like, hey, Mark, take a left, and I go straight off the cliff, and then he's always there to catch me before I fall. And in the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are capable of, but you will be tempted, and he will provide a way out that you can endure. This verse illustrates that God knows my limits, and he will test me to those limits. And so it's kind of nice because, like, oh, like, any problem or challenge that I have, I can overcome, but I just have to depend on God. So there's no problem that's, like, too big for me, even though I'm a little, like, small. And then also this verse shows me that there will be temptations and challenges that'll come. Like, because, like, people are like, oh, Christianity, it's like a carefree life. It's easy once you accept Christ. It's pretty simple, but actually it's quite the contrary. There is a lot more like, oh, like, you can't go to these types of parties. You can't do this. You can't say that. You got to live like a Christ-like life, which is nice because Christ is the light of the world, and we are mini Christians, mini Christs. And so it's kind of like a challenge to maintain the perfect Christian. And so it's nice because God will be with you through all. And then if not, I can just, you know, text an advisor, say, hey, I need prayer. And so it's also nice because the youth group is like a nice solid foundation, which I can turn to whenever I need help. Like, hey, guys, I'm struggling with this. Or like, hey, like, post on the youth wall that we have on Facebook. And then so in my 17 years of living, I have learned to trust God more and more. And when I became a Christian in 7th grade, I went to Hume Lake and I accepted Christ for the first time. Amen. And I didn't realize how important a relationship with Christ was. But now through my many years of like experiences with service and just talking to other people that have been my mentors, I've learned that Christ is there to keep me accountable along with every other Christian. And so that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So I think I need to be nervous. We have two great gifted speakers who are going to take my job. Well, not Mark. I was glad you don't want to work with teenagers. Only have to worry about Nathan. So I want to share with you one of my favorite parts of the youth ministry here at this church. Well, one of my favorite parts is working with Kelly and Trevor Walker, Joe Silva, Tracy Pro, I think I might marry her, Katie Oxnam, Terry Diaz, John Bale. There's phenomenal leaders here, and I really shouldn't have started to list their names because now I'm in trouble. But there's just a phenomenal team here who love on our students and who are available for our students to call on. And one of my favorite parts of youth ministry is actually when the kids leave. I love the kids. I love hanging out with them. But when they leave or when we've gotten rid of most of them, we all gather in the youth room and we sit in a circle. And we share about where our kids are. And it's so encouraging to me to hear in those moments what God's doing in this group. What questions students are asking. What realizations students are coming to, how God's working in their lives. It's an amazing blessing to serve here and be used by God here as he's working in the lives of these students. I was so encouraged to have Nathan and Mark share with you some of the things that God's doing in their lives, because these are the kinds of things that we get to hear on a weekly basis. And I'm just glad that you had that opportunity to hear it today. The youth ministry here often isn't seen because my kids generally sit in the back row. But I want you to know that it exists. It's thriving in many ways. We now have a middle school group. 2 years ago, we didn't have a middle school group. Last year, I had 3 middle school kids. One was Josh Pasquinelli, who's graduated into high school, and then Hannah and Bella. That was pretty much my middle school group. This year, because of the success of Crash Zone, because of the support of the youth advisors, because of your support, we are able to launch a middle school ministry on Tuesday nights. This last summer, we had 7 students participate, and then when Crash Zone came around in the fall, we were at 20, which is just phenomenal. That was about the size of our group a year prior. So to have the youth group double this last year and just see God's faithfulness to this church community and his faithfulness to us as we do what we're supposed to do, which is to reach out and welcome our neighbors, and to share with them the love of God, to introduce them to Jesus, to walk alongside of them. It's been one of the best years of my life. One of the best years of my life. There are many great things happening here. Many things happening in the youth ministry, which I invite you to participate with. If you're at all interested in serving in the youth ministry, whether it be in Crash Zone, in Crazy Zone, with Pat Strandberg, John Bale, Terry Diaz, I invite you to. If you're looking for ways where you can support the youth, I invite you there too. But there's many other areas of our church that are being used by God to do amazing things. Our children's ministry, our worship ministries, our heart for service and missions. One of the most beautiful things about being in a church is the support you have from one another, but it's also seeing how God's using the church. That's an amazing place to see God. So I invite you into that. I'd like to close today with one more worship song, and then we'll do a pastoral prayer. And what's special for me about the pastoral prayer, the prayer of the people that's coming up, is the ladies who will be leading the prayer are 4 of our graduating seniors. So these girls have been in the group, and this is their prayer for all of you after having spent their lives here, and we will miss them.
Let us pray together. Oh, gosh. We'll be the leader, and you will be the people.
We pray for this church and for the people of God in every place. May the church be faithful to your call to help bring about your kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for all the leaders of the world, that they may make wise choices for everyone, and that they may lead us away from oppression and violence and toward peace and possibility.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for those who live without resources we take for granted. We give thanks for those people and ministries who seek to help provide food, health care, and shelter to those in need, and we ask that you would bless and expand their efforts.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
On Youth Sunday, we give thanks for loving support our congregation gives to our middle school and high school youth groups. We pray that through all of the ministries of our church, we would faithfully serve Jesus in our community and the world, that they would point people to the power of new life found in your Son, Jesus.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for those who do not understand or have not experienced your love, those who have not repented of their sin. We ask that they may seek a deeper knowledge of you and find your offer of forgiveness and restoration. We pray for your love to touch those who are hurting today.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
God, you are our loving Father. Meet us now with open arms as we pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now for the benediction. May you leave here with a childlike faith, knowing that God is moving in you in the way that he's moving in our youth. And may you be a part of the ministries that God is using to bless our community through this church. Amen.